that's good singing all the way around. I was sure hoping Miss Abigail would have her voice back, but she don't. And so it will in due time. No doubt about that. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 62. Isaiah, chapter number 62. As we look there in the chapter, you find the place you're able to stand. We'll look in verse number 10. And the Bible said, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the high way and gather out the stones. Sound like you don't want nobody to be able to trip over something. And lift up the standard for the people. And let me tell you, that blood-bought banner is what we ought to be waving, proclaiming the name that's above every name, and that's the name that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Behold, he said, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We thank you for these that have gathered tonight. We pray you'd save the lost. Lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while tonight on sin that they pay double for. In the chapter earlier, you'll find out they were being punished and they were going to pay double for their sin. I got to tell you right now is that's going to be a pretty good sized bill to pay. It's better to just be able to know that in your heart, whenever God comes knocking, that you just surrender your heart, surrender your life. If you're not saved tonight, I don't know why you're not saved. I know pretty much everybody that's in here. Some of these littler ones yet are not old enough probably to know about their soul's condition, but most all of us tonight are old enough to be able to know if you're hell bound or heaven bound. Why would you die without the Lord? Why would you want to do that? You don't want to do that. I can tell you that right now. I've never met anybody that wanted to die without Christ and go to hell. Somebody may out down the road and ask you and say, hey, and if you're not saved, then when you do come and every now and again, I want to tell you, I've got to stand before the Lord and have done my dead level best to be able to keep you out of hell and awaken you to your need for Christ. As you look into the Bible, you'll find out that one of these days that Israel, as a nation that did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ when he came on the scene, and yet you'll find that one of these days many of them have died without hope and without God, and it's not because the Lord didn't love them, it's because they loved not him and received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I can tell you this, we can't force you into it. If you could be forced into it, we've already done that for you. We live in a world that somehow or another is all messed up in their thinking on that subject. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson here, there's a thing that we ought to remember. It's an old cliche somebody came up with, and it's a matter of sin. And here's what sin will do is, it'll carry you further than you ever planned to go. Most of the time, you'll find young ladies, they don't want to hear that. Young men, they don't want to hear that. Till their belly buttons push wrong side out. Sin, buddy, will carry you further than you plan to go. It's not all it'll keep you longer than you plan to stay with it. And you'll think, I'm just going to dibble here and dibble there a little bit and all of that. I got to tell you right up front is that it's going to keep you longer than you plan to stay. It's like it's a hypnotic thing. It's like that little girl and that pedophile that had been messing with her since she was 12 years old that we talked about. And she says, a grown woman, it'll break your heart. I've said it over and over and thought about it. Is she said, you know what happened? That a pedophile came to my house under the guise of being a preacher. And we live in a world that way. And let me tell you right now, is he's going to the pen for 6 months. He ought to be shot or hung on the courthouse square. And for years dealt with her over that business there. Fondling her body and so forth and touching her and kissing her and so forth and on. I got to tell you right now, I bring that up because Israel encountered some of things with another people, with another country that was forbidden unto her. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you that thirdly, you'll find out is that you'll find that it'll always cost you a lot more than you plan to pay. That's what sin does. It carries you farther than you plan to go. It'll keep you longer than you plan to stay. It'll cost you more than you plan to pay. Now, that's the way that it is in this lesson that you're looking at. Now, Israel, you're going to find out, is a people there that is going to one of these days be married unto the Lord God of glory, and it's going to be a Jehovah's wife. And you'll find the church is going to be the bride of Christ. But in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that we're to bear witness of the light. We're to preach the gospel. We'll magnify the name of the Lord together. We're to bear witness of that light, and that light is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what he'll do is he'll change your name. He'll change your nature. He'll make a new creature out of you in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you right now what a delightsome thing that it will be to be married unto the Lord. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, we're partakers of a divine nature. When you got born again, washed by the blood, you're a partaker of a divine nature. I've got something that's from the hand and the heart of God. When people get saved, they hear the message of God, they believe the message of God, they receive the message of God. And I'll tell you something, we ought not to keep silent about what God's given us and what God wants to do. There's a passage over there that we're to look at. In this chapter that you're looking at, you're talking about a man that's about to marry, and he's going to marry a chaste virgin. Now, I want to say something just so that I don't think anybody like that is here, period. But let me tell you something, fellas, when you get ready to get married, you want to find somebody that's been walking right, doing right, and keeping themselves just for you. Don't think that if you marry somebody that's been a road whore, that she's going to stop that when she marries you. Hey, girls, let's talk about him. Don't think whenever you find a young man that's run with every floozy and loozy and whatever that he could in life, don't think, dear friend, that he's going to shut all that down and devote all his attention just for you. You know, there's a whole lot of things that whenever I got married that I didn't know. And now after 50-something years, I'm just learning some things I didn't still know. See, the devil wants to give you somebody experienced out of wedlock. And by the way, let me say to you that if you will, you may know somebody in that condition. And let me say to you to give them to hope that it's not the end of the world. It's just something they'll have to live with from now on, but there is forgiveness with God. And they don't need to feel like, you know, they're the only ones that have been involved in anything like this. Now, let me tell you something about Israel real quickly that you probably already know while you're turning in the book of Revelation, and you can just look over there in about chapter, I don't know, chapter number 2, chapter number 3, wherever it is, I'll find it in a moment. And when I do find it, I'll tell you exactly where we're looking for and what we're looking about. But in the book of Revelation over there, and I believe it's in chapter number 3, and to show you how the sins are running thing, Revelation in chapter number 2, that's where it's at. And so in Revelation chapter number 2, you can just kind of hold it there and wait on it. And let me say to you that if you will, that here's what Israel would do. Israel, when she was walking with God, believing the prophets of God, and marching with God, she was unstoppable. Let me tell you, everywhere she went, the fear of God was upon people. When they went through the land of Moab, the king Balak, who was the king over Moab, the Moab was shut up in behind their doors. They were scared to death of the children of Israel. And so what he decided to do is, he decided that, I tell you what I'm going to do is, Balaam, I tell you what, I want to hire you to be able to put a curse upon the people of God. And so Balaam liked money, and he liked position, and he liked power. But he couldn't put a curse on the people of Israel. And whenever Balak said, well, what's the matter with you? I told you to curse them. You've blessed them. And he said, I can't curse whom God's already blessed. And so you know what ended up happening, don't you, in Revelation in chapter number 2 and looking about verse number 6. Here's what he said, I've got against you there at the message at Ephesus. So here's what I got against you. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, right now, in the church age, it's only deeds. Now, jump across there, if you will, in verse 14, same chapter. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idol and to commit fornication. Look at that. The doctrine of Balaam had become just deeds in Ephesus. Now it's a doctrine over here at Pergamos. I tell you what, that's what we're talking about. Sin just going to keep carrying you farther and farther and farther until finally it brings the hand of God. Now, Balaam couldn't curse whom God had blessed, but he taught them how to be able to commit adultery and fornication with those people that were over there in the land of Moab. And, buddy, that angered God because they were messing with people that they had no business that God forbade them to mess with. The doctrine of Balaam involves this. It involves the doctrine of idolatry. It involves the doctrine of immorality. Do you realize that? Oh, that's what sex outside of marriage is. The Bible said that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. I can't tell you how many down through the years have heard that preached on at a funeral at a wedding or Excuse me about that. But you'll find out is that many of them that have done so turned and walked away from there knowing that was right and went ahead, messed up anyway. And then the doctrine of Balaam, idolatry, immorality, and interracial marriage. And see, what happened is those people over there in the land of Moab, they were forbidden for them to take their sons or their daughters for their daughters and their sons. And as a result of that, what they did is that they got sexually involved, one with their own crowd. And it angered God, and God, buddy, visited their iniquity. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that every time you come down here to the house of God, I want to try to encourage you in the faith. I want to try to encourage you to believe God, believe the Bible, and act upon it, and have the best life, the best Christian life, and the most wonderful time serving the Lord that you've ever been able to serve. In fact, is if you die without the Lord, I want you to have to stand before the Lord and say, "Did you know Dennis Anderson? Yes, sir. He tried to keep me out of hell for years, but I wouldn't listen. Did you know this person or that? Yes, they tried to be an example to me, but I didn't want none of it. I didn't want to have any of it." I got to tell you right now, it's a whole lot better to be able to know that one day that people stood before the Lord who heard the gospel message of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and can say, "Preacher, what a difference that the Lord has made in my heart and my life." Now, I got to tell you right now, God finally turned Israel. She got so far away from God. If you read over in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 8, he called her Sodom and Egypt in the tribulation period. But finally, in Revelation 20 and verse number 9, he called her that beloved city. I got to say to you that, if you will, that you're sitting here tonight, and if you're a child of God, you're saved by the grace of God. If you're not saved, I would to God you'd get saved and receive Christ and confess him and admit you're a sinner and receive and embrace him as your Lord and Savior. I would to God you'd do that. But if not, you that are saved, every now and again, you ought to just look at where God brought you from and where you would have been had it not been for the grace of God. I've got family that's not saved. I've got kin folks. My wife does. Of course, her family's mine and vice versa. But I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that every now and again, we ought to just thank God for where he brought us from, where we would have been and could have been had it not been for the grace of God. As we think about it and as we close tonight, I want to say to you that we ought to remember to pray for Jerusalem. We ought to remember to pray for those Israelites because that's what God said we ought to be doing. And let me tell you, the world hates God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, and hates the Jews more than anything. I noticed is that there was somebody that was asking a question. And they said, when was it that the Sabbath was changed? When was that? You know, this today is not, we call it the Christian Sabbath being Sunday. But the Sabbath was a Saturday. But see, there's still the seven-day advantage. I call them seven-day disadvantage. And the reason being is because they don't recognize that Jesus Christ changed the Sabbath. I've told you over and over again over in the book of Leviticus chapter number 23, and you don't have to turn there, but you'll find as that it's recorded there that when God was going to change the Sabbath from a Saturday to the first day of the week. The resurrected morning's the first day of the week. And let me tell you right now is that those who want to worship on a Saturday are not acknowledging that the grave is empty, the tomb is empty, that Jesus won the victory over death, hell, and the grave, and he resurrected gloriously and victoriously. And therefore, you'll find that it was a Jew that changed it. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have time to deal with all of that and get into it tonight, but I just wanted to say to you that that's the reason why that it is the way that it is. One of these days in the millennium, you're going to find that Israel's going to be termed as a city not forsaken, as a people not forsaken. And man, what a wonderful time that it will be. And let me tell you right now, there are those that are not going to be able to enjoy the eternal bliss of heaven and the millennial reign and heaven then itself. Reason being is because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, sometimes whenever you're talking to people about the Bible and they cut you off, I don't believe the Bible, then I can't help you. They that are of God, the Bible said, those that are of God will hear God's words. But he said, you're therefore not of God because you hear not God's words. It's good to be saved tonight and to know the Lord, and I hope you are. I do. I have nothing to gain whatsoever by wishing and hoping against you. I'm hoping for you to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we would thank you for loving us even while we've been in love. There's some, no doubt, in the day and hour that we're living in, that some people that we brush shoulders with that need the Lord in a very special way. I pray that now that you'd move upon us within us, Lord, grant every request according as it pleaseth thee. Help us to do thy will, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.